Luke 15. A certain man, verse 11, a certain man had two sons. Now, this is a parable. This is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's what parable is. And Jesus used them to help people understand the heavenly concepts, the eternal concepts. It's important for us as we're reading this, as we're setting our put ourselves in that setting, if you will, to understand the distance, to understand the geography, to understand the agriculture of the day. A certain man had two sons, verse 12. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided them unto them his living. Now this son, this younger son, and all the older siblings in here are saying, yep, that's how they are. The younger one's always the one. It's causing trouble. The younger one says to his father, give me what falls to me. In other words, whatever portion I would inherit. And so the Bible says that his father divided up his living and he gave it to them. But understand the problem with being entitled and impatient. Customarily, when would the younger son have received this portion? Upon the passing of his father. Now, his father is still active, still has an enterprise, a business, and it's doing well, and likely would continue to do well, and would probably increase in value, which means that the younger son, by taking his portion now, is cheating himself out of the total amount he would have later. But by being impatient, a lot of times that's what we do. We're in such a hurry that we'd rather take less now than take more later. That's like an investment seminar, isn't it? You know, we don't want to put any aside for later, but trust me, we're going to need it later. And if we just burn through all of it now, then we wake up one day and we've got nothing to live on. And so be mindful of that. That younger one wasn't satisfied. And so then he received it. Can you see him running around? He goes in his room and he puts those bags of money in his room while he's living with his dad and has everything he needs. You see, here's the thing. He didn't need that money. He didn't have any use for that money because he didn't need to spend any of it. He could have just let it sit there and he could have eaten without paying for it. He could have stayed without paying rent. He could have done all the things that life requires without spending a dime. How many of you think that's a pretty good deal? Right? Yeah. But he wouldn't do that. And now he's got all this money. But he still has everything he needs. But what he's missing, there's an emptiness in him that he wants to fill. There's the idea of adventure, an idea of pleasure that is in his mind that he doesn't have at home. He wants to see the world. He wants to go out. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with leaving home and going to another town. But we do realize that when we leave home and go to another town, we leave behind that network, that web of safety, that net that would catch us when we fall. And so we end up out there on our own. And of course, we can develop networks and friendships and all that kind of, you know, para-family, if you will. But it's not like family. It's not the same. And so he's not satisfied. He didn't appreciate all that his father provided on a daily basis. And so it says in verse number 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. See, having no need to spend it at home because everything was provided, he rushed off to see what he could do with that money. Wasn't it a brilliant idea when you graduated high school to move out of mom and dad's place and rent your own place? Pay your own power bill. Pay your own insurance. Have your own, it was a terrible idea. Right? If we'd have just known, we'd have stayed home a little bit longer and enjoyed it. But we got to get that freedom. We got to rush out. We got to see the world. And so that's what this young man's doing. Now he's got that money. He goes, but look, he not many days, so he rushed off because he is burning a hole in his pocket, as my dad used to say. He had to spend that money. And of course, at home, he didn't have to spend any of it. But he went, the Bible says, to a far country. He was looking for something that he didn't find at home. And he was looking for something, and he thought it must be far away because it can't be anything like home. Isn't it? Let me say it this way. How old were you when you started longing for the good old days? When you started longing for home and naps and stuff like that? You just wish you were still a kid. When we were a kid, we couldn't wait to be grown. Now we're grown, wish we were kids again. And that's how it is. It's always, you know, as grass is greener on the other side. But this young man, now he's got his pockets full, and he looks out, and he's going, and he doesn't find what he wants in the next town, and he goes to the next town, he doesn't find what he wants. See, he's looking to fulfill something that can't be fulfilled out there. Guys, that's the problem is when we think that alcohol is going to do it. Let me say this. If you believe that alcohol is going to meet your need, drink one. And if it doesn't meet your need, guess what? It didn't. If you think that drugs were going to meet your need, the first time you tried it, you would have been satisfied. But you weren't. If you think that dating was going to satisfy you and complete you as a person, you would have figured that out the very first date. Guys, the answer is not in the world. The answer is not in the stuff that we can put our hands on and the things that we can do. The answer to being whole as a person, to realizing the fulfillment of who we are, is found in Christ. It's not out there. You can't buy it with money. He's looking for something to fill that emptiness. Only God can fill that emptiness. But it's just like everybody. He goes out looking, and he goes far looking because he can't find it, so he goes further. What's that old sermon? Sin will take you further than you wanted to go, cost you more than you wanted to pay, and keep you longer than you wanted to stay. Because that's what sin does. And this young man goes, and he goes far. Jesus put that in the story on purpose. He said he went far. Far. Was it because he didn't want dad to know what he was doing? Was it because he didn't want words to get back to his family? News of his behavior, his misbehavior, his riotous living. It says he wasted his substance. He wasted his substance trying to fulfill that emptiness. And that's what will happen. Guys, if you think stuff is the answer, you're going to waste your money. But if I just had that, I'd be satisfied. If I just had that, I'd be satisfied. No, it's not. You're going to be broke is what you're going to be. You're not going to be satisfied. You're going to be broke. And so, and look at what happened in verse 14. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. Isn't that just great? Boy, timing could not have been any better, huh? I mean, now he's broke and there's no work available. Now he's broke and nobody's hiring. Now he's broke and everything costs more. Just worked out that the famine came. But I want you to notice two words in that verse, would you? And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine, right? Terrible famine in... two words, that land. Why did Jesus put that in there? Because there wasn't a famine at home. See, if he'd have stayed home, everything would have been all right. If he had stayed home, he still would be eating every day. If he'd have stayed home, he'd still have his bed every day. If he'd stayed home, he'd still have the security of his father's house. If he had stayed home, he'd still have those friends and that family. He'd still have everything that he left if he'd have stayed home. But he didn't stay home. He thought the answer was out there. He thought he could find it out there. And he kept going and he kept going and he kept going, and it took him farther and farther and farther, because everywhere he went, he couldn't find it. And by the time he's out of money, he's in a place where there's no hope. Wow, that sounds a lot like sin, doesn't it? That sounds a lot like backsliding, doesn't it? That sounds a lot like straying and wandering away from God, doesn't it? I get the image in my mind of someone wandering in the darkness, in a desert, nothing around, lost. And that's the picture we have here. And he began to be in want. Verse 15, he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, again, understanding the depth of the story as Jesus is speaking to Jewish people, to touch a pig, to feed a pig, to serve a pig, to eat pig, was the worst thing in a Jew's mind. They had nothing to do with swine. Why? Because it was forbidden by God in the Old Testament. In fact, there were some who would cheat. And they would raise pigs, but they would raise them on an elevated platform because they weren't supposed to touch the ground. And they figured if as long as they don't touch the ground, it'll be okay. And so they were kind of trying to work around the system, a loophole, if you will. But the point being, this is the worst job ever. I mean, what's the worst job you can imagine doing? I can remember as a young boy seeing the guy hanging off the back of the garbage truck. That truck would go by and it smelled terrible. But somebody said, oh, he makes $15 an hour. You know, this is a while ago. And I thought, boy, when I grew up, I want to be a garbage man. Really, my job always when I was growing up, I wanted to be the guy that cuts the grass on the side of the road. There's still hope. I mean, it could happen, right? But we think of the worst job ever. And by the way, it's not a bad job, but it's a stinky job. You know what's the worst job you could think of? Cleaning out septic tanks, maybe? Be about the worst one? Who votes for that one? But I mean, but again, you know, everybody's got to do something. And so this is the worst job that Jesus could give them, the idea, the worst job he could give them. And so he says he's feeding the swine. But we find out he's not just feeding the swine, but he's recognizing that the pigs are full and he's hungry. Verse 16, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. He's so hungry, he begins to look at the pig's food, just the refuse, and he says, well, maybe I could chew on that a while. Maybe that would give me some relief from my hunger. I want you to remember that while he was at home, his belly was full, but his soul was empty. Now both his soul and his belly are empty. Guys, we might think the answer is out there far away. We might think that spending is going to get us there. We have all these ideas about what's on the other side. We best do what the Father tells us. So being hungry and destitute and alone and feeling abandoned. In verse number 16, look at that last phrase, and no man gave unto him. What does the Bible say? Cast thy bread upon the waters. In other words, invest for the future. Think ahead. Invest in others. I would not want to find myself in a situation where I have a need to call on others to give to me. But I believe that they would. Why? Because there are so many who have called on me and I've met them in their time of need. And it may be different people. The ones I've helped may never be able to help me back, and that's okay. It's not alone. But if I were in need, I would hope that there would be enough people that were able to give a little bit to meet my need. He has wasted his entire inheritance. All of it is gone. And no one gives him anything. No one says to him, well, you look hungry, let me give you some food. No one says, well, those clothes are muddy and dingy and smell like pigs, so let me give you some clothes. No one says, well, why don't you come with me to my house and get cleaned up and sleep in my room for the night? No one, no one, no one helps him. Guys, that's why the Bible says in order for a man to have friends, he must do what? He must show himself friendly. Now, in other words, if we expect to have friends, we've got to be a friend. Again, not because someday we might need help, but just because it's the right thing to do. Be a friend. Well, no man gave unto him. Verse 17, he came to himself. Have any of you come to yourself? Have any of you reached that point in your mind? Nebuchadnezzar, remember him when he went out and his hair grew long and his nails grew long and he was like a wild animal? Because he had pride and ego and God struck him down just like that. And then after seven seasons, the Bible says, and he came to himself. And he looked to God above, looked to heaven. Here, this young man comes to himself. He realizes what a mess he's made of his life. He realized that he can't help himself out of this. Guys, we've got to have counselors. We've got to have people of wisdom. We've got to have mentors, people we can look up to, people we can call on, people who have some economic sense and some worldly sense, because sometimes we make bad decisions and repeated decisions will get us further and further in debt and further in the hole. And at some point, we've got to overlook ourselves and say, I need help. Now, whether that's an addiction or whether it's just poor spending or poor choices, at some point, somebody's got to give us some help. We need help. He came to himself. And he said, verse 17, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And to spare. And to spare. You know, it's very interesting how this week every drop of gas counted for those that were running generators. Well, we take for granted. We don't appreciate all the luxury and all the blessings we have until it's gone. The well's dry. All of a sudden, boy, I wish I just had that little bit. He says, my father's the servants have bread and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. He realizes that if something doesn't change, he's going to die like that. He realizes that if he doesn't do something, he has no hope. His current situation cannot continue. Guys, when we think about our lives, we have to realize we need God. We need the direction of God. We need His Word. And what a great blessing it is to have a church that we have so many who have walked where we're walking. They know what we're going through. They understand because they've been there. And even those that haven't been there can love us through it. He says, if I don't change something, I'm going to die right here like this. He didn't want his obituary written that way. He didn't want that to be the last chapter in his story. If that's the way it is in your life right now, and you look at your life and you say, I don't want this to be the last chapter in my story, then what's going to change? How's it going to change? How are we going to fix it? How are we going to turn it around? What are you going to do? Who are you going to look to? How are you going to get some help to get out of this situation? You say, well, I don't want any help. I'll do it myself. That's what got him into this mess. And I'm not saying you're making poor decisions or you have bad judgment, but I'm saying wake up, and if you need help, accept it. Elijah was on me yesterday wanting to go fishing. And so, of course, we've got a big old pontoon boat. And I don't know if you've ever taken a 9-year-old to launch a pontoon boat. On the river with the current. But I have. And anyway, we were backing it up, and there was this fella coming off the river, and he said, do you need some help? Well, here's what I know. I know we do the same thing every time, and it works. But having an adult back the truck in so I could put the boat where it needs to go instead of counting on a 9-year-old against that current, I did not refuse the help. Did I need the help? Maybe not. I might have made it without it. But I'm not going to say no. Right? Accept help. If people want to help you, let them. It's so important. And here's the thing. When people want to help you, you know it makes them feel good to help you? So let them feel good. Let them help you. I don't know if the guy's name was Ashley from Moultrie, Georgia. And I don't know if he felt blessed when he left, but I did. And I hope he felt like he helped, and he did. I hope he was fulfilled by that. But don't waller in the mud suffering alone when you don't have to, as he literally was. He came to himself, and he said to himself, verse 18, I will rise and go to my father. You see that? I will arise. I will arise. Which way is that? That's up, right? He saw a situation. He says, got to go up from here. I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Dad, I'll do anything. I'll take any job you got. Anything. Doesn't matter what it is. And that's one of the problems with people today is they won't take just any job. They'll say they can't find work, can't find a job. Now listen, I know, you don't have to qualify this. I know there are all those situations where you've tried and you can't find one. But I'll send somebody a job, I'll say, look, they're hired over here. Well, you know, this is the reason I can't have that job. Makes me want to sing that song. Well, this is the reason I can't do that. This is the reason I can't do that. Look, I don't know about you, but I took the job I could get when I needed one. I remember going and putting applications. When I went to Bible college, I was putting applications everywhere. I had, you know, a handful of money that I had gotten from graduation and from work over the summer. And I went to school, and I tell you what, it was getting less and less and less. And I was down to those last few dollars. And I mean, I was putting in applications, and it was during a recession. And, just couldn't find a job. And so the first one that called me, I went to work for him. And the next day, one of the other ones called me. I said, I already got a job. I didn't say, how much are you going to pay me? Because if you pay more, I'll come there instead. No, I already took a job, so I went there. And then I told them, hey, you know what they said they were going to pay me? Hey, it worked out. I got a raise. But you know, that's, you just do what you can. You do what you have to do to survive. He says, Dad, I'll do whatever you want. And so he arose, verse 20. And he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Why? Because he was looking for him. He was hoping. He was waiting. That's why. When Jesus comes back, are you ready? Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says the trumpet's going to sound, the Lord's going to descend into the clouds, and he's going to call us home, those who believe. Those who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet him in the air. That's what the Bible says. We call that the rapture. We're pulled out of here and we go to be with him. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with him. If that happens today, are you ready? Do you know, have you prayed and said, God, I put my trust in you. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. Have you prayed and asked God to forgive you? Has he written your name in the book of life based on that faith? You see, he was looking for the son, just like we should be. The father saw him when he was yet a great way off, and he had compassion. And dad ran. Dad ran. I heard something yesterday. It said it's very rare for anybody over 30 to run. Anybody over 30 in here that still runs? Three of you. All right, good. If I run, you run. Something's wrong. Right, Brother Chuck, one of the first things they taught us in Fire Academy, don't run. Honestly, that's one of the first things they told us not to do. You see firefighters running, they're not following the rules. So you better run the same direction. He ran to him, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And the son said to him, just like he'd rehearsed it, "Oh, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet." What's the significance of that ring? Do you know? See, the significance of that ring is it would have the father's seal. It's like having daddy's American Express black card. You walk in anywhere and they just go, "Yes, sir, whatever you want." And they swipe the card. You see, he could go anywhere in town with daddy's ring. Sometimes it would be on a chain around the neck. And that was the emblem. That was the sign that he was part of that enterprise. And that boy could now go anywhere he wanted and buy anything he wanted, which, by the way, he would have been able to do that before he left. Why do we walk away from God? Why do we think that the answer is somewhere else? Why do we believe that our hope lies anywhere except in the Lord? Verse 23, he said, "Bring here the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Let us celebrate, let us dance, and let us party, because my son, which was dead, is alive again. He was lost, and he's found." And they began to be merry. You know, we talk about salvation in this, but I couldn't help but notice that this is a son of the Father. This is the picture of a backslidden Christian. One who got saved, one who got baptized, one who joined the church, one who read the Bible, one who prayed, one who attended, and he started following God, and then he started following other things. Other things began to get his attention. He began to think, you know, here's the thing. I've already got my inheritance. I'm already saved. I've already got what I'm going to get. So I could go out there and enjoy. I could go out there and live it up and sow some wild oats and party. See, what happens at the end of that pursuit is disappointment, dissatisfaction, loneliness, a longing for home, a longing for the Father. And that's what he found. He found misery out there. So if today you have wandered from God or strayed or you just lost the joy of your salvation, come back. Y'all read the rest of that story? The music was loud. The people were laughing and singing and celebrating. And the older brother was out working still in the field. And he heard the music. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Anyway. He heard the music. He said, "What's going on?" They said, "Your brother came home. And so your dad threw a party. There's steaks on the grill." Oh, the rage. The jealousy, the anger, the bitterness. He found his dad and he said, "What is the meaning of this?" He said, "Your brother who is lost is found." He said, "Hold on just a second. You heard what I heard while he was out in that far country. He was running around with wild women and partying and doing all kinds of ruckus and riotous living. And you're celebrating him? You mean he's taken all that and wasted all that and broken himself? And he's come and you're celebrating him?" You know, one of the saddest things as a pastor, and I know as church members too, you see, I'm looking at some pews where some people sat when they got saved. They got baptized. They started walking with the Lord. And a month or two or maybe three went along, and all of a sudden somebody said, hey, why don't we go to the beach this weekend instead? Okay. And then, you know, the next weekend, since they went to the beach last weekend, now they got to catch up the yard work. And then, so, you know, after a couple of Sundays, all of a sudden, guess what? We don't do every Sunday anymore. We don't go to church every Sunday anymore. We don't get our kids to church every Sunday anymore. And then before you know it, months have gone by. And then, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed to go back to church now after we've been out so long. Again, y'all know I'm not preaching against vacation. I believe in vacation. You need a rest. You need a break. But the truth is we allow some things to come up and distract us and get us out of God's service. And before you know it, we're completely backslidden. But I want you to know this. As your pastor, when you finally decide to come back, I'll be falling on your neck. Happy you're home. And when we stray and we come back to God, there is God saying, bring him a robe. Bring him some shoes. Give him the ring because he's still mine. He's still mine. He's still mine. And he says in that last verse, he said it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to welcome him home. You're right. All that stuff is probably true. He probably did all that. But now he's here. Let's love him. Would you stand? Father, we love you so much. And we're thankful that you're able to reach us with stories we can relate to because we see ourselves here. Some see ourselves as the younger brother. Some as the older brother. Some as the father. God, we see ourselves and we see you in this story. We understand that each one of us is susceptible to distraction, backsliding. None of us is beyond it. But I pray, God, that we'll keep our hearts true, that we'll do what's right, that we'll not allow ourselves to get distracted, to get pulled away, to be entertained and enticed by the world, because we see in the mud of the pigs, we see ourselves at the end of a life of sin. Give us hope and strength. Draw us to you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your opportunity. If you want to come in, kneel and pray, or if you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to do that. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I want to get saved. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. Would you do that now? Just pray. Say, God, I need you. I give myself to you. I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, show me how to live. What's on your heart this morning? Maybe you're already saved, but you've wandered. And now you're longing for home. And you find that being in God's house, being with God's people, being in God's presence is the most you've felt like home in a long time. But now's your opportunity. Say to God, God, I belong to you. I want to get right. I want to get back. I want to do right. Announcement I forgot to make, and I even had written down up there, but next Sunday at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a Sunday school meeting, and we'll do it in the kitchen here, I guess. 5 o'clock, Sunday school meeting. And we need some more people involved in Sunday school. So we're looking for three more people to get involved in Sunday school for sure. So if you'll get with Sister Sharon, we've voted her in as our new Sunday school director. So if you want to see her, if you want to become part of our Sunday school, raise your hand. There you go. Get with her about volunteering in Sunday school. Anything else before we dismiss? Back tonight at 6, Wednesday night at 7. Let's go to Lord in dismissal prayer. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?